Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And we're going to be talking about one of the herbs out there that certainly has been around for thousands of years. It's derived from turmeric. It's called curcumin. And Dr. Blaylock's latest newsletter went into the background of this amazing, amazing substance. But I'm not going to try to tell you about it. I'm going to ask him to. Good evening, Russell. How are you tonight?
Hello, Stan. Doing just fine.
Well, I really enjoyed your article in your newsletter about curcumin. Why don't you tell us about this amazing product and why it is really so effective and some of the amazing things that it can do?
Yeah, curcumin is one of those plant extracts that we stumble upon every so often that you would classify as a miracle. I mean, it's just amazing what God has put into this plant for our benefit. It's extracted from the spice turmeric. Turmeric contains about anywhere from 3 to 5% curcumin. Curcumin's the primary active principle in that spice. But what they noticed some time ago was that people who consumed a lot of it, like the Indians in India, they spice all their food with turmeric and cumin. And what they found is their incidence, for instance, of colon cancer was about 6 times lower than people eating the Western diet. And they found that their incidence of Alzheimer's disease was about a fourth of what it is in the West. So they became suspicious that even this very low dose of curcumin seemed to have a powerful effect. Well, there's just been enormous research on this extract, and it's related to in the plant species other plants that also have a similar type effect, but not quite as profound. Ginger is one of its relatives, but the curcumin, through all this extensive research, and now they even know how on a molecular level this compound works. But it is a very powerful anti-inflammatory. That is, it reduces inflammation no matter what causes it, whether it be an autoimmune disease or an injury or an infection, whatever. If it's inflamed, curcumin will dramatically reduce that inflammation.
Well, would it work just like the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory diseases? Does it work better than they do?
Well, it works as well or better. In fact, it's classified as working as well as the steroid, which is considered the top of the anti-inflammatory. So it's really at the top of the capacity to reduce this inflammation. Well, the reason that's so important is that we're finding that a great number of diseases are being linked to chronic inflammation. For instance, type 2 diabetes cancer, the invasion of cancer, the spread of cancer, neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's disease, strokes, the effect of strokes in the brain, all seem to be related to this inflammatory process being triggered, and it's prolonged. And the curcumin, when they tested it in all these different conditions, found that it had a profound effect in protecting not only against brain diseases, but against cancer itself. And it's unusual in that it's one of the few substances ever found that will inhibit cancer at all its stages.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Russell. I mean, actually, it will inhibit cancer. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, but it's amazing that it does it at every stage. In other words, the induction stage, that is before the cells act.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Consequences from it. It is an anti-cancer because it, of course, it actually acts on cancer in every stage, whether it be the precancerous, the early development of cancer, the late development of cancer. It has certainly an effect on the degenerative diseases of the brain, like Alzheimer's disease. It inhibits free radicals. I mean, it seems almost too good to be true, but you were talking about the free radicals and how difficult it is to suppress the free radicals and how devastating they are in so many diseases, and certainly they, you were talking about the peroxidase phase of free radicals.
Yeah, there's a particular type of free radical called peroxynitrite, which is found in very high levels in these diseases. And the problem is most of the antioxidants like vitamin C and E and beta carotene really don't have any effect on it at all. But what they found was that curcumin is very powerful inhibitor of that free radical. So that will play a big role in protecting the brain against Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. They also found that one of the cell's most important protectants against damage by free radicals, it's a chemical called glutathione, found in every cell, but when you get one of these diseases, the glutathione level in your brain cells begin to fall very low levels, and that makes the brain cells very vulnerable. They found that curcumin, when they fed it to animals that had brain inflammation or similar disease to Alzheimer's, it increased the amount of glutathione in their cells. protected the cells. So this is another layer of protection that you get from this. And then finally, we said that the microglia cells, these inflammatory cells in the brain, are causing the damage and strokes and head trauma and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Well, the curcumin has been shown to calm down those cells so that they're not releasing these powerful inflammatory chemicals and excitotoxins. So it's sort of the miracle substance that we've ever found. I mean, it's just incredible. Another way that it reduces brain inflammation, there's a chemical inside of cells called NRF2. What it does is it produces gene activation that reduces inflammation so that cells are protected against inflammation and the damage by inflammation. And we know that if cells have low levels of this substance, the animal becomes very susceptible to cancer, damage by pesticides, toxic metals, brain injury from stroke. So they look for ways to increase the amount of this NRF2. And to their surprise, curcumin was one of the chemicals that is very powerful and stimulating NRF2 throughout the body, particularly in the brain. So that adds a real strong level of protection. Well, there's only two natural chemicals they found that do this. One was the curcumin, and the other was called sulforaphane, which is a chemical extracted from cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and Brussels sprouts. This substance also powerfully protects the brain against inflammation. So when you're doing both, you're consuming these vegetables and you're taking the curcumin, then you really have a powerful combination to protect against cancer and brain damage from all sorts of causes. Another way that it protects the brain, we know as we get older, our brain begins to lose its ability to produce energy. That happens around age 55 to 65. Well, as the brain begins to lose the ability to produce energy, you start getting various symptoms like losing memory, forgetting names, forgetting phone numbers, having periods when you get disoriented. It's a very early type presentation to Alzheimer's type dementia. And we find out when people have that, their brain cells are not producing sufficient amount of energy. Well, to their surprise, they were looking at the effect on brain injury, and they found out when they fed animals curcumin, it increased the energy produced in these cells 158%. And it even produced energy in the cells after the injury. So it did something that we don't find very often with any kind of drug. And that is the ability to protect these cells by allowing them to produce more energy. And you have to realize the brain consumes more energy than any organ in the body. It's consuming 20% of all the oxygen, 25% of all the glucose, and it's only 5% of the body's weight. So it's consuming massive amounts of energy just to be able to function. Well, if these mitochondria in the cell that produce energy is not working correctly, you can see the brain is going to start having trouble with its memory and mental function, cloudy thinking. So something like curcumin that protects these cells and increases the energy really raises the level of protection.
Well, now, when you talk about energy, we always think of the mitochondria, the little batteries of the cells. Does this curcumin then actually act on the mitochondria?
Yeah, the mitochondria produce 95% of all the energy in the cell, and it's acting through the mitochondria to stimulate it to produce more energy. And we know that as you raise the energy level in brain cells, it protects the brain cells against excitotoxicity, and all of these different damaging processes. So just doing that alone would be enormously protective, but it's doing a lot more. It's not only raising the energy level, it's reducing the free radical damage, lipid peroxidation, it's reducing inflammation, it's reducing the microglial activation, and it makes the brain produce more of a substance that is what we call a neurotrophin, and that's something that makes brain cells healthier. It makes it develop more little dendrites and synaptic connections. So this substance, this curcumin, has been shown to increase those chemicals in the brain, which is incredibly beneficial. We know, for instance, depression is directly correlated to one of these chemicals being very low in the brain, called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And if curcumin raises it, it also reduces depression. So when they tested it, in fact, that's exactly what it did. It reduced depression, so it's very effective. So overall, you're just seeing so many beneficial effects. You say, well, certainly there can't be anything more than that. Well, there's one more thing it does, and that is curcumin is a metal chelator. It tends to bind with iron inside cells so that the iron is not toxic. It doesn't interfere with the function of the iron as far as your oxygenation and the DNA function, but it will prevent the iron from causing the production of free radicals, because that's one of the problems we have as we get older. As you start aging, your body starts accumulating too much iron, particularly in the brain. And we see, for instance, in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, they have a lot more free iron in their brain than people that are normal.
Well, now, does it help to chelate anything else? In other words, basically, of course, you always worry about the mercury, the aluminum, the lead, things of that sort. Is it just primarily for iron?
Well, ironically, it's also been shown to significantly reduce the toxicity of mercury and aluminum. So it's one of the things that's kind of a universal neutralizer of neurotoxic metals. We don't have many things can influence aluminum brain toxicity, but curcumin is quite potent in protecting the brain against that toxicity. But the iron is the biggest problem we have in people, is too much iron in the brain. And the curcumin is quite powerful in protecting the brain against iron toxicity, and that reduces your risk of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's in particular. So in summary about the brain effect, it's just one of the most incredible substances we've ever found in brain protection. Now, knowing that the Indians, just consuming a very small amount, have such powerful protection against Alzheimer's disease, a fourfold lower incidence. The question is, well, what would happen with higher doses of and concentrated curcumin? Well, they've tried it in animals, and it's quite dramatic. They have animal models of Alzheimer's. And what they find is when they feed the animals the curcumin, the brain doesn't develop the Alzheimer's pathological changes, and the animal does much better. So now they're doing some human studies on Alzheimer's patients, and the early results are looking pretty good. Of course, it's a matter of absorption, and as they absorb more of this curcumin, we're going to see even better results in these patients.
Well, does it cut down on the amyloid plaques, or do we know how it works?
Oh, yeah. Not only cuts down on the amyloid plaque, but it's been shown to reduce the toxicity of the plaque. The plaque is not the cause of Alzheimer's. It's the result of the chronic inflammation and cytotoxicity.
Well, you hang on there, and we'll get back in just a moment. Our guest is Dr. Russell Plainlock, and of course, he's really does these investigations, write a wonderful newsletter, which you really want to take. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Russell Plainlock. Go right ahead, Russell.
Well, as I was saying, with Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's, what they've learned now is it's not this crud that's accumulating in the brain, the amyloid.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Example after example of people having dramatic improvements are taking curcumin because it inhibits the growth of cancer. And so basically, they've been working at this for a long period of time, but we are not hearing about it. It's certainly not widely touted in organized medicine today, and yet it is truly a miracle drug. So pick up the story. You were saying that certainly the cancer research has been using this. What sort of results are they getting as they have more and more human trials?
Well, they're just starting a lot of the human trials. One of the problems with curcumin is that it's very poorly absorbed. you can take massive doses and hardly any of it gets into the blood. So it's that's one of the big stumbling blocks that they had. Well, it was excellent at preventing colon cancer, and that's why in India the incidence of colon cancer is six-fold lower than it is in the United States, just from that tiny dose that they take. It not leaving the colon but coating the colon is highly protective against colon cancer. Well, in the experimental animals, what they do is they take human tumors and they implant them in the animals so that they can test actual human tumors. And when they fed them curcumin, they found out that it inhibited every kind of cancer they tested it on, melanomas, prostate cancers, breast cancers, lung tumors, virtually everything, including brain tumors. So they began to see this so often, and it was such a profound effect, they began to investigate, well, how was it inhibiting cancer? Well, there's a cell signaling process. It's called mTOR, M and then T-O-R. mTOR is a process in cells that in a cancer cell, it promotes the cancer cell to grow very rapidly, reproduce rapidly, and become highly invasive. In other words, it makes cancer very deadly. So anything that stimulates mTOR worsens your chance of developing a cancer, and if you get a cancer, it makes it likely the cancer will kill you. Well, they found out that curcumin is a very powerful inhibitor of mTOR, which makes it a very powerful anti-cancer substance. Well, interestingly, eating a high-protein diet stimulates mTOR, so it stimulates cancer. And glutamate, one of the amino acids in the protein, is a potent stimulator of mTOR. And it is known to make cancer grow very rapidly and become highly invasive and deadly. The curcumin inhibits that. So that's one of the ways it does it.
And this is why I'm sure a lot of the diets that simply get you on fruits and vegetables then really are so beneficial, because you're not getting the proteins. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Right, right. You're cutting out the protein. And if you cut out the sugar as well, because, you know, cancer cells can only metabolize sugar, glucose. They can't use fats. They can't use proteins for food. Now, the protein will stimulate the mTOR, but it's not actually using it for food. So the cancer cell is limited to one source of food, and that's sugar. So they found if you take cancer patients and you cut out their sugar, the cancer cells start dying, and a lot of the tumors will start shrinking. They put people on what's called a ketogenic diet, and that's a diet in which is high in fat, particularly the medium-chain triglyceride, and has no sugar in it, mostly vegetables, and very little meat. And what they find is these patients' tumors begin to shrink. And there's been some dramatic cures with this diet. In fact, one of the worst tumors known is the brain tumor glioblastoma. Since I've been in neurosurgery over 30 years, the mortality has stayed the same with all the treatments they've tried. Radiation, surgery, chemotherapy, has not changed the mortality at all. Interestingly, they put a patient on this ketogenic diet and the tumor went away completely, which is never seen with the glioblastoma. As long as they stay on the ketogenic diet, the tumor does not reappear.
Well, you know, there's the old treatment, the Hallelujah diet. You can get that on the internet, Dr. Day's diet. This is what Gerson talked about, how important it was. Certainly the clinics in Mexico, cancer clinics that use various other sundry things. But they all put people on a very, very strict diet, and it has a wonderful effect. We'll be right back.
While storm clouds gather far across the sea,
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Does it prevent apoptosis? Or
no, it stimulates.
It stimulates apoptosis. A being without, so the proptosis then would be the destruction. Would that be it?
Yeah, apoptosis is the way cells kill themselves, right, if they're too damaged or if they become cancerous. Cancer cells block the apoptosis, so you can't kill them. They become immortal. Curcumin restores that natural process so the cancer cell will kill itself. Now, another process very similar is how the cancer is getting very clever is when you treat a patient with chemotherapy, what happens at first, the chemotherapy will start working and the tumor will shrink, and then after a short period of time, suddenly the tumor starts growing again. And it seems to grow a lot faster than it ever did before. And then you try other chemotherapeutic agents, and you notice they don't work. Well, that's called multidrug resistance, and that's very common in cancer treatment with chemotherapy. Once a cancer becomes resistant by that process, no other chemotherapy will affect it, and the patient will die very quickly. And there's some evidence that they die faster than if you had never treated them with a chemotherapy in the first place. Well, this has been a real problem for oncologists. They don't know what to do about it. And what has been discovered is there are a number of natural occurring substances, curcumin is the leader, that will reverse multidrug resistance. And what that means, if you reach this stage where your cancer's resistant to the chemotherapy, and you give them curcumin, the cancer will become highly sensitive to the chemotherapy. Now, that has a lot of advantages. One of the advantages, you know, chemotherapy is extremely toxic to all the cells in the body. It doesn't differentiate between your normal cells and the cancer cells. So the idea of chemotherapy is to come so close to poisoning you to death without actually killing you, hopefully killing the cancer first. Well, that doesn't happen a lot. And the patient's extremely sick. They damage their liver, their heart, their lungs, you know, can have irreversible damage from the chemotherapy, particularly in children. They can have chronic irreversible heart failure or lung failure. That's been a big problem. Well, if you use curcumin, say if you want to use the chemotherapy, use the curcumin, then you can use chemotherapy in a dose, a fourth of the normal dose. So you're using very low dose chemotherapy, but you're getting an effect that far exceeds even the highest of the doses against the cancer only. And that's what the curcumin also does. It keeps the chemotherapy from damaging your normal tissues and your normal organs. So you don't get the heart failure, you don't get the lung damage, you don't get the kidney damage, because it's protecting it. And recently they found out that chemotherapy damages the brain, and a lot of patients who survive their cancer have memory problems, disorientation, confusion, learning problems. And it's because of the brain damage caused by the chemotherapy. Well, the curcumin protects you against that. So it protects the brain against the damaging effects of the chemo. So here you have the best of all worlds. If you decide you want to do the chemo, fine. Use a dose that's much lower than normal. Therefore, you have far less toxicity against your normal tissues. And you're going to have an effect that far exceeds even the highest dose of chemotherapy. The curcumin is going to powerfully kill the cancer. Now, one of the ways that curcumin has also been shown to inhibit cancer is it affects a master switch inside of cells that is called NF-kappa-B. Now, NF-kappa-B is a chemical in the cytoplasm of the cell that when it's activated, it travels to the nucleus and it turns on a whole lot of genes. And these genes make cells grow faster, make them reproduce faster, and it triggers inflammation. And that's what's happened in cancer. And so they looked at cancerous tumors of every kind, and sure enough, NF-kappa-B was highly activated. So then they found out if you inhibited NF-kappa-B, it dramatically inhibited cancer growth. Well, ironically, again, curcumin is one of the most powerful inhibitors of NF-kappa-B. And that may be a major way that it's inhibiting cancer development and growth.
Well, now, is that because does it change the genetic structure? In other words, does it certainly turn off a certain genes that influence the other genes? How does that affect? Is it its direct impact on the gene switches?
Well, it's preventing the NF-kappa-B from traveling to the DNA. It's the NF-kappa-B that turns on all these genes. So if you keep the NF-kappa-B from becoming activated, then you don't get the inflammation and the growth of the cancer. So it's acting by inhibiting directly the NF-kappa-B. Well, there's a lot of natural substances that do that, maybe not quite as powerfully as curcumin. For instance, hesperidin from orange juice and oranges, apigenin from celery, and luteolin from celery, quercetin from onions, tea, and apple. They also powerfully inhibit NF-kappa-B, and they're all powerful anti-cancer agents. So you combine these things, and you see, when I treat cancer patients, one of my primary ways I do that is get them to use the green drink. And that's a blenderized vegetables primarily. And it's primarily the cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale, celery, spinach. And these powerfully inhibit all of these processes in cancer cells. And what we see is that if you look at all these people who have these dramatic cures of cancer, I mean, they're stage four cancer. That's the worst stage you can get. At stage four, chemotherapy has no effect. Well, a number of patients have been completely cured at stage four using this process. And when I looked at it, almost all of them had done either juicing or blenderizing vegetables and cutting out sugars. When they do that, these cancers shrink and start going away. And these patients who had a death sentence suddenly are living very long periods of time, and sometimes they outlive their oncologist and told them they were going to die. And we actually had that happen. An oncologist told a patient with pancreatic cancer they couldn't live, and they were still alive 20 years later, and he had died.
Well, now, basically, is there any way to increase the level of curcumin? You said it was poorly absorbed. Is there any way to get it into the body more efficiently?
Yeah, interestingly, you know, I started playing around with it just to see what I could dissolve the curcumin in. And so I found that olive oil was an excellent way to dissolve the curcumin. And when I would take it, I seemed to have a much better benefit from it. Its anti-inflammatory effect than normal. Well, I found out that, in fact, a researcher had tested this, and that when you mix curcumin with extra virgin olive oil, it increased the absorption into the blood 11-fold. Well, now you're getting blood levels that are equal to that needed to kill cancer and prevent cancers and to protect the brain. So just a simple thing of dissolving it in the extra virgin olive oil is a powerful way to get your curcumin in. Now, curcumin is very messy. It's an orange substance, anything it gets on is going to stain. So you have to be very careful with it. And usually what I do is take a big tablespoon, pour the extra virgin olive oil in it, you know, and balance it in a bowl. And open up the capsule of curcumin, put it in the olive oil, mix it up real well until it's dissolved, and then carefully just take it right out of the spoon. After you do that, you need to wash your hands and then take a damp cloth and wipe your mouth because it's going to get some on your lips and face, but it'll wipe off. And do that three times a day, usually after a meal, because the meal will help you absorb it as well. That way, doing that three times a day, you get good blood levels, good brain levels. It increases brain absorption fourfold, and it reaches levels that we're seeing these highly beneficial anti-cancer brain-protecting effects. Other things you can dissolve it in, interestingly, is I always cook my eggs in olive oil mixed with turmeric, and it turns them a nice, bright yellow. And they taste very good. They're delicious when they're cooked in turmeric. But the phospholipids in the egg yolk dissolve the curcumin and makes it highly absorbable as well. So that's the two things we know is one phospholipid, like an egg yolk, and the other is the extra virgin olive oil. But anytime I cook an olive oil, I always put the curcumin in it and turmeric. And that way it stops oxidation in the food, you absorb the curcumin very well.
And the heat doesn't in any way deactivate it?
No, it's very heat resistant.
All right, fine. Well, now, basically, I mean, you're describing certainly one of the most amazing things I've ever heard of. Why is it not certainly used more widely? I mean, certainly we never hear about curcumin.
Well, you don't, but in the cancer research, it's just, you know, there's so many papers you couldn't read them all. They're very excited about it, but they recognize the problem is absorption. And so they're working on ways to increase absorption. One of the ways is nanosizing it. And what that means is you make the molecules of curcumin very, very small so that they're easily absorbed into the gut. And they tested it in animals, nano-sized curcumin, and they get excellent anti-cancer effects. Some people have used the phospholipids and mix the curcumin with it and give it an IV and get good cancer results there.
Well, could I have a scrambled egg every morning with a curcumin capsule and, you know, in scrambled eggs and get the effect?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, basically, first of all, I want you to tell our listeners how to get your website, how to get your newsletter, and I would just let our listeners know that Dr. Blaylock's last newsletter covered almost all we've talked about in going to the background of curcumin. So this is one reason I was so pleased he was going to talk about it. It's a fascinating newsletter. How can people get your newsletter and get this information?
They can go to my website, RussellBlaylockMD.com, and you'll see a headline at the top, newsletter or publications, and you can go through there and you can link onto the newsletter, which is published by Newsmax.
Right, and I've taken it ever since the very inception of it. And, I've taken it ever since it was first published. In fact, Chris Ruddy called me one time, asked me if I would write a medical newsletter. I knew this was not my field, and I was so glad that he approached Russell and got him to write this. And because I think we've all benefited. I know I have benefited tremendously, but it takes a tremendous amount of time and research to put together the material that Russell has done. He did an outstanding job. So anyway, that's Russell Blaylock, MD, is the website.com. And go there, get the information. And I certainly suggest you get the newsletter. Not only do you get it, but once you subscribe, you can get all the old newsletters. And we have them, I think, bound going back. How long have we been doing this now, 6 or 8 years?
It's been about 6 years. I think we're starting on the 7th year.
Right. Well,
it's been a while.
Right. And, of course, is there other information on your website that would benefit our listeners?
Well, I have, a cancer book that I've published, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients.
Well, we carry all of the books, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, certainly Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and then, of course, the excitotoxins, the taste that kills. So we carry all three of those books. You haven't written any others I don't know about, have you?
Well, I have an e-book on autism, which I co-authored, but it's an e-book. It's mainly very scientific, not for the average reader, but, if somebody's really interested in the subject, it's by Bentham Publishing. But I've been interested in cancer ever since I was in medical school, and I spent a lot of time looking at all the basic research that's being done, particularly with natural compounds, because that's where all the excitement is now. And the difference between chemotherapy and a natural compound, chemotherapy usually affects only one or two processes in a cancer cell. Well, cancer cells very quickly bypass it, and so they start growing again. What natural compounds do is they inhibit so many processes in the cancer cell, it just can't overcome it. So the cancer cell is totally suppressed, or it triggers that apoptosis and kills the cancer cell outright. So that's the advantage. The other thing is these things, like curcumin, only affect cancer cells. They have no effect, harmful effect on any other tissue, organ, normal cells, even normal cells that divide rapidly, like gut cells or liver cells, blood cells. In fact, they make them healthier. They protect them against damage. So it's a very unusual process that it can be so damaging to cancer cells, but it's so protective to normal cells and organs. And it's just enormously protective of many, many tissues and organs.
Well, we've had a couple of people called in, and so I'm just going to see if anybody would like to call and talk to Dr. Blaylock. We have just a moment or two more. Dorothy had called from Flint, Michigan, and wanted very much to talk. If she calls in, we'll try to get it to her question anyway. Don't know that we'll get enough time really to get the answers out, but this is fascinating material. Curcumin, would you spell it for us? Because most people would not know how to spell it.
Yes, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N.
C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N, curcumin. And we're going to be start carrying it. I know that the company we get our health food products carry this, and we're going to carry it too after hearing your description. I wouldn't mind having an egg in the morning. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. to wrap up the program. Okay, fine. Well, we've got I believe we've got Dorothy on the line. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, fine. You have a quick question, because
most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
With us, Dr. Blaylock.
Thank you, Barbara.
And because if you didn't know, that was my wife calling Russell. And so I know she's there monitoring our program. One question, will it this seem to help memory, certainly, for people 60, 70 years old? Would at least, do you think, is there any possibility it might be beneficial?
Yeah, the results in animals seem to improve brain function, so you can think better, think clearer. Remember better, because if you're increasing brain energy, that's the number one thing you need for improving your memory.
Oh, now, this is a little off subject, but I know you produced a product that actually helps memory. Is that back on the market?
We're getting ready to put it back on the market. I've reformulated it, and we're going to nano-size a lot of the ingredients so we get a much higher absorption, and then we're going to release it.
How soon do you think it'll be back on the market?
We're hoping within 2 months.
Okay, fine. Now, will that contain curcumin itself?
Yes, it's going to have nano-sized curcumin in it.
All right, very good. Well, I want to thank you so very much. It's been fascinating. I'd love to go another hour, but unfortunately, I know it's getting late where you are, and I have another guest the next hour. God bless. Thanks
God
so very
bless.
Much.
Thank you, Sam.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And let me just suggest, ladies and gentlemen, you may want to get this tape and listen to it half a dozen times. I've read the article, but I learn so much every time I hear Russell talk. Now, we do have a number of things that he's put out. We have a four-tape set with Russell Blaylock called A Life-Saving Sequence. It's just his analysis of various subjects. We carry his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, and Excitotoxins, the Taste That Kills. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, Excitotoxins, the Taste That Kills. You can call our 800 number. Just ask for Dr. Blaylock's books, and they can give them to you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a DVD he's done, certainly on vaccines and brain development. It's available from Radio Liberty. Vaccines and brain development, because the vaccinations actually set off an inflammatory process, begins to sensitize you to all sorts of products, harnesses the immune system, and gives you, many people, hypersensitivity, which is why so many people develop allergy, why we have so many children with multiple allergies. And this is a direct result of the vaccination process. They're lying to the public about the dangers. They know, for instance, that children who do not get the vaccines do not develop allergies or asthma in anywhere the frequency. 1 in 9 American children has asthma. 1 in 11 has severe allergies. You don't see it. The children aren't vaccinated. There is a diabolical program put out by the U.S. Public Health Service aimed not at helping our children, but at injuring them, because we really are dealing with organized evil. And when you understand that so much of what's going on, we could talk about the fact that 1 in every 5 or 6 children in America has either as a neurodevelopmental or learning disability. 1 in 65 boys has autism. You don't see it in children who aren't, or very seldom see it in children who aren't vaccinated. They know what they're doing. Certainly our friend Mark Geyer got into the CDC, a data bank, found a 27-fold, not 27%, 27-fold increase in the incidence of autism in the children who are taking vaccines with mercury in them. They know they're poisoning our children, and you need to get the information. But that's another subject, but you need to help us get the information out. And then, of course, I think this information on curcumin is fascinating. Curcumin is available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want a tape of this program, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our permission and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from our hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I don't think there's any better example of that statement than the book we're going to be talking about next by Arnold Mann, and that is They're Poisoning Us from the Gulf War to the Gulf, and certainly talking about the illness that we find among many of the people who work on the Gulf oil spill that took place a couple of years ago. But Arnold is an investigative reporter. He's written excessively. I mean, I wonder how many people are aware of the toxic trailers, are aware of the toxic buildings, are aware of so many of the problems that people are having today that is destroying their health. Of course, those of you who listen to our programs regularly know that we've written about the population control agenda. And I've certainly studied this subject extensively. And I will have to admit that I learned a great deal from this book by Arnold Mann. Good evening, Arnold. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. Can I say something I've wanted to say for
you,
a week?
You go right ahead, sure.
Dr. Stan, it's Arnold Mann.
Arnold Mann, right. Okay, fine.
Well, thank you.
Okay, and the title of the book is?
The title of the book is They're Poisoning Us from the Gulf War to the Gulf of Mexico, an investigative report.
All right, fine. So I'm going to let you pick up the story because I think it's so vitally important that we get the information out.
Okay. What would you like me to talk about first? You know what I'd like to say?
All right, go ahead.
Please. People ask me, why did you write this book? And I'll tell you why. There are a bunch of reasons, but the one that really stands out more than anything, Doctor, is I hope that it might contribute toward changing a national perception. And that national perception is that people who suffer from multiple chemical sensitivity or Gulf War syndrome, chemical sensitivity, chemical intolerance, it all fits under the same umbrella. They have been relegated to the psychosomatic heap for the longest time. And I was hoping that this book might contribute towards a changing in that national perception. This is a very new disease paradigm. And these people, it's not all in their heads. That's the bottom line. In fact, it's everything but.
And, I agree with that totally. And, well, let's start talking about toxic buildings. I had never heard of that. And I knew a lot of the things in your book, but I'd never heard before any discussion of toxic buildings. So let's start with toxic buildings, why people have certain work in certain buildings will have these chronic disease symptoms. And hey, I mean, most people work in buildings and they do pretty well, but there are some specific buildings that have contributed, you know, to a great deal of illness. There's one that you describe where almost half of the people that worked in this building were ill, and this was a large building. We're talking about a large number of people. Why did you pick up the story? How did you get interested in this in the first place, in toxic buildings of all things?
Well, what happened originally was I was writing for Time magazine, and I said to my editor, Barry Seaman at the time, I said, why don't we do something on sick building syndrome? Now, to be perfectly honest, this was in 1998. I didn't know very much about it at all. I had read something maybe 5 or 6 years earlier, just a real small piece in a publication called Medical Tribune for Doctors a long time ago. And it just struck my mind. I said, why not something on sick building syndrome? And Barry says, that sounds like a good idea for our managerial readers, the Times readers. And we went out looking for things like a little bit of chronic fatigue, airway problems, things like that. And what we came back with was shocking. We came back
with
fever.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
What we came back with was something very shocking. We came back with seizures, strokes, and death in that building. It was the Southwest Airlines Reservation Center in San Antonio, and it had a long-standing mold problem. The employees were not aware of it. It turned out in the long term, in fact, that the airline was aware of it. They'd had several
industrial hygiene inspections that revealed it over the years, 1983, 84, right through to about 1997. It was an ongoing problem. And the women who were working, primarily women, I should say, who were working in this building, they started out having headaches, and then they wound up having memory problems, chronic fatigue. They couldn't remember who they were talking to on the telephone. Some of them said they had to actually lie down on the floor in order to talk to somebody because they got so tired. They felt better when they left the building, and they felt worse when they came back. I think the thing that was so shocking was, I mean, this was a toxic mold problem. I didn't even know what toxic mold was at the time. I really didn't. The Stachybotrys produces mycotoxins. This is where I learned about on that story. And there were ambulances coming and going from that building, hauling them out with seizures and strokes. And one 31-year-old woman died after a second stroke outside that building. And she had a 3-year-old son. So it hit me pretty hard to find out what it was to have a sick building.
Well, no, basically, was this the ceiling tiles? Was this the brown black material that we sometimes see on the wood? Where was this? Did it permeate the whole building? And isn't there any way to fumigate it, a building, and get rid of it?
It was pretty pervasive. They had very high levels of mold and bacteria also in the air handling units. You know when this really started, Doctor? It started in the 1970s when we sealed up the building because it saved energy on heating and air conditioning. I mean, you open up the windows in a building, it's going to cost a lot more money to air condition it or heat it, you know, a building that breathes than one that's sealed. But when you do that at the same time, there's no place for anything to go in that's in the air, whether that's a mold breeding a very toxic mycotoxin, whether it's a bacterial growth breeding endotoxins. And that building had very high levels of mold and bacteria growing throughout the air handling unit, servicing all four quadrants. It was a round building with four quadrants.
And so basically it's the air conditioning vents, I suppose, and conduits.
It was in the drip pans, very heavily in the drip pans, and it was just breathing throughout the system at that point. Now, at the same time, they had, this was very enlightening, they had carpeting, not only on the floor, but on the wall.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess Arnold Mann, his book, certainly they're poisoning us, from the Gulf War to the Gulf of Mexico. And basically, of course, he's starting about toxic buildings. Now, I'd never heard of toxic buildings before, but apparently Arnold hadn't heard of them either until he actually got into this entire subject. And then he found out about this building. It was in, was it San Antonio?
Yes, sir.
And, of course, it was a Southwest Airlines reservation building. And of course, the mold was in the air conduits that was permeated the building. And the company knew about it, that had inspections in the past. Did they try to do anything about this to alleviate the problem? Because they knew that their people were getting ill. Many of them had mental problems. Some of them had strokes and other serious health and physical problems. Did the company try to do anything about it? They kept denying there was a problem, but they obviously knew.
Right. What the building also said, besides having mold growing in the air conditioning units and the drip pans and stuff, besides that, the building was operating under what's called negative pressure. It wasn't getting enough fresh air. So when you opened the doors, you get sucked into the building. It was that strong. But what happens is when you have a building operating under negative pressure, you have condensation building up on the inside walls. And in this particular building, they had carpeting on the inside of the walls to dampen the noise. So that carpeting, when it got wet, provided excellent mold food. Mold feeds on cellulose products. So that means ceiling tiles, yes. Carpeting can be a part of that. Fiberboard in particular. What's it called? Drywall is excellent mold tool when it gets wet. And this place became very moldy. The airline, yes, they knew about it. They did attempt to make a couple of cleanups. They pulled the carpeting off the walls, and the women in the building actually described huge patches of black mold growing underneath the carpeting. So that was the source of the problem in the building. Also, they were spraying pesticides all around the women in the building as well. and this can be very toxic too. So there were a number of contributing factors to the women becoming sick.
Well, what eventually happened? How many people are we talking about? Hundreds, literally?
There were 600 people, 600 people working in the building. The vast majority of them were women. Three shifts of 200 per shift.
And, of course, they worked there because they were getting very, very good salaries.
Best money in San Antonio.
And, of course, as you commented, certainly the union, you talked to the union representative, and they knew there was a problem, and the union was afraid to come out in favor of the employees because they were afraid that they would be targeted by Southwest Airlines.
That and also Southwest. At one point, I interviewed the union representative, and finally she broke down and admitted she knew there was a longstanding problem. She told me that the airline told her that if there were any more problems with this building with regards to complaints, they were going to shut it down, which meant that 600 people, all of them, would be put out of work. So I have to say that the union was between a rock and a hard place on this one.
But you got to do what's right.
I mean, you do.
You can always get another job, maybe not as good a job, but there's nothing more precious than your health.
You're right.
So what eventually was the outcome of this? Now, I know that you wrote articles that appeared in Time magazine.
Yeah.
This was sort of an explosive situation, wasn't it?
To some extent, it was, yes. There were seven women in the building who sued the airlines. The airline, they became so sick, seizures, strokes, things like this, they weren't able to work in the building anymore. And after 2 years on sick leave, the airline terminated the women. So the seven of them, they were referred to as the San Antonio Seven by the airlines, the seven of them sued the airline for wrongful termination and for, it was a toxic tort as well, for concealing a health problem in the building. And the court in Texas, the Bexar County Court in Texas, gave the airline its summary dismissal in all cases.
And I'm sure that was very discouraging for you and for the people. Well, if you're a big company, well, of course, lots of times the equality of and blindness of justice sometimes just you can see who's got the power, and unfortunately, this is the way the world works.
You know what, Doctor? There was a kicker to this one too, I have to tell you, and that was that at the time that court gave the airline a summary dismissal, the court employees were flying on stolen Southwest Airlines tickets, millions of dollars worth of them, and they were under investigation for it. Now, it's not that the airline had bribed them or anything. It was nothing like that. But the person at the airline who was in charge of giving free tickets to inconvenienced travelers, her husband worked in the court as a clerk, and he was selling these tickets. Now, nobody knew where he got them exactly, but they were paying pennies on the dollar for them. But under those circumstances, that court should not have been adjudicating this case because they were flying on the defendant's stolen property.
And was there any appeal at all, or was it at the end of the case?
You know what? At the time, the women, they just kind of threw up their hands and said, we can't take this anymore. And they just gave up. Sometimes the powers that be are the powers that be.
Unfortunately, that's the reality that we live in, but certainly, and example after example of many of the things that you talk about, I was aware of, some I was not. So we talk about the toxic trailers. I think that is an amazing story.
Those are FEMA trailers.
The FEMA trailers that, of course, were used to house, were they predominantly blacks, is my impression.
It might have been the case. I don't know for sure. I know that the FEMA trailers had a big problem with off-gassing of formaldehyde, and that made many people very sick.
And, of course, these were the victims of the Katrina.
Yes.
And certainly remember that New Orleans was, I think, about 67-68% black. Mm-hmm. And these people, they've lost their homes. They had no place to live. So the government magnanimously came along and offers them trailers to live in.
Yeah,
but there's a problem with the trailers, and people in the trailers, they're all getting sick. So pick up the story, because that is, to me, one of the most devastating things.
Well, just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. Well, what can you say? I think the government, in this case, the FEMA trailers, the FEMA were ignorant. I don't think they would have deliberately put them into diseased trailers.
You're much more benevolent than I am, but go right
go
ahead.
For it.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
I would chalk it up to extreme stupidity because the risk benefit ratio is off the charts. I'm getting into trouble after the fact. But I would listen to anything you have to say on this subject. I'd love to hear it.
All right, we can go right ahead. And my listeners know how I feel about lots of things, but I've learned so much from your book. Anyway, what happened to the people? First of all, what was the complaints? What happened when these people started reporting they were ill? And there was this strange odor in their trailers. And it wasn't in one trailer. How could you get 102,000 toxic trailers? I mean, is the government really that stupid? I mean, why would anybody manufacture trailers that had a toxic substance in them that is carcinogenic? Carcinogenic.
Yeah, let me tell you something. When you know what the biggest cause, one of the biggest causes of multiple chemical sensitivity is, and that's what we're dealing with here, besides the carcinogenic effect, because formaldehyde is a will cause multiple chemical sensitivity. You know what the biggest cause of it is? One of the biggest causes. Remodeling of homes. People go into a home that has just been remodeled and there's an off-gassing of formaldehyde and other volatile organic compounds. That's what was going on in these FEMA trailers, these hastily provided FEMA trailers. And it was tragic. It was tragic. I have a difficulty finding the blame except to say that it was badly, badly handled. And I don't know. Perhaps you know more about this one than I do. You sound like you've read a bit on it.
Well, all I have is my suspicions. I have no actual facts. So basically, because there was formaldehyde, and there was gassing of formaldehyde, and this went on for, a year and a half?
Before people know what's going on. You know how many people were working in the Southwest Airlines building before they knew what was making them sick? Years. Some of them were in there 5 and 6 years. Some took a year or two to get sick. Some took three.
Well, did they ever close down the building or do anything really to clean it up?
They did do a renovation of the building, and they did replace the HVAC system. That I know. I do not know what the current state of the building is. I can't speak to that.
All right, fine. And if you own a building, well, of course you hate to think that your building might be poisoning people, and you might not do it intentionally, but sometimes you've just got, if you know there's a problem and people are getting ill, you have an obligation to your employees to look after it.
And to hide it? And to hide it.
Right.
Is what? Well, in my mind, it's...
Well, let's go ahead with the toxic trailers.
Yeah.
So basically what happened in the 102,000 102,000 toxic trailers, what happened?
102,000? Were there that many?
See,
a little bit more red on the trailers than I am on this one. But yes, people became very sick inside of these. It was the same kind of, call it a syndrome, multiple system illness that the people in the Southwest building got. And by the way, it's the same kind of symptom and symptomology that came back from the Gulf War, with the troops coming back with Gulf War illness. These are all toxic-driven illnesses.
Right. Basically, I just finished reading a Ray Nagin's sequence of Katrina. Basically, he was the mayor of New Orleans at the time, and so it's a fascinating book, but that's neither here nor there. That's the only reason I know the number of trailers.
Good.
In fact, I really thought I'd gotten that from your book.
I credit you. No.
Anyway, but eventually what happened to these people? These are the people in the toxic trailers.
The same thing that happens to all the people who wind up with this multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome. It does not go away.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. My guest, Mr. Arnold Mann. We'll go right ahead. So, did they eventually move out of the trailers? What happened?
They did, and I think...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Children over 15 months with pulmonary hemorrhage, and this is a very, very rare circumstance. So the doctor in charge went to the CDC. The CDC sent out a team, and they found out that these children who had the pulmonary hemorrhaging had evidence in their blood of a poisoning with the black toxic mold that you find in buildings that create problems. So then, of course, they have another investigation, and then there's the effort to cover this up and say there's no problem here, there's nothing to worry about, you know, and cover up, cover up, cover up. And we can give example after example after example where, unfortunately, the CDC does this sort of thing. Anyway, what happened?
Well, the shocking thing was that the outside panel of experts that was called in to re-review the CDC's own expert data, half of them turned out to be defense witnesses on the side of insurance companies in mold cases. That's number one. Number two, the CDC, when they published the new data, saying there was no association, it came out of the director's office of CDC with no authors listed on that paper, simply from the directors of CDC. Who was the director of CDC at the time? It was new. His name was Dr. Jeffrey Toplin, and he was the immediate past president of Prudential Insurance.
So here's a man, obviously, at least we could be, I think that he might be somewhat favorable towards the insurance industry.
And in addition to that, a predecessor of his, a Dr. William Roper, who had served the CDC director from 1990 to 1993, had also served as president of Prudential Center for Healthcare Research. So you had essentially the CDC office, the the director, there was Prudential Insurance was mixed up inside of it. The thing of it is, what strikes me is how can a president of a national insurance company be appointed to CDC director? And the question is, the conflict of interest is off the charts because every decision made by the CDC affects the bottom line of the insurance industry in one way or another.
Well, I will tell you, I wrote a book called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, covering my visit and time I spent at the CDC, and I came away. There's some wonderful people there.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are running were totally corrupt, and my view is that the AIDS epidemic was totally unnecessary. We knew how to stop it. I talked to the man in charge, Jim Curran, and I said, Jim, why don't you do what's right? And Dr. Curran said, I can't. I'm caught between between members of Congress, one of them, Sidney, and I said, well, you know, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know what to do. And I said, you ought to quit. And he did. He was an honest man. He just gave up his position at the CDC and went off to Emory University, head of the public health department there. But most of the public health officials would not do what they knew was necessary to stop the AIDS epidemic because there were very powerful people at the CDC who didn't want to stop it. And one of my motivations for writing a book on that, and I'm sure your motivation is to try to get people to really understand the degree of corruption that exists. So basically what happened? Did they do anything at all to try to stop the toxic mold in Cleveland or elsewhere? What's happened since then?
I can tell you that they buried the problem, but I'll tell you something even more striking. That the last time I talked to Dor Dearborn, the number of children, the number of babies, we're talking about dying babies here, the number of babies brought into that hospital now with pulmonary hemorrhaging is 53 with 5 deaths. That's one hospital in the country. And he wonders how many nationally are having this problem. And could this be a contributing factor to sudden infant death syndrome, which is such a mystery today? Could this be part of it?
Well, you know, because as I read your book and you listed the symptoms for this chronic exposure to the black mold, the symptoms there are so very, very similar to the chronic fatigue syndrome.
Right. It's a big part of it. And I think the reason for that is that, you know, there's a doctor by the name of Dr. Claudia Miller. She's at the University of Texas Health Science Center, and she describes multiple chemical sensitivity as an entirely new disease paradigm. And what we can see in all of these exposure groups are the same multi-system symptoms resulting from an initiating toxic exposure. What happens is you have initiating toxic exposure, and then in time people become sensitive or sensitized to a vast array of everyday chemicals, very low levels, that never in the past had bothered them. And this is what drives the multi-system symptoms, whether it be chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, cognitive and memory problems, chronic digestive problems. These are all symptomatology that are around this new disease.
Hold this thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
well, let's go right ahead, Sidney. I think anything else you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Gulf War syndrome, which is really one of the great tragedies of our time.
I would. I'd very much like to talk about that.
All right, you go right ahead.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we first look at the exposures that those troops suffered resulted in them getting sick, okay?
Go right ahead.
Probably the worst of the bunch. You know what I'd like to do? If I might. Could I read something very briefly?
You surely can. I mean, it's your book, and we're here to learn from you, so go ahead.
I want to give people a sense of what the soldiers went through in the Gulf with those oil fires. So I'm going to read just a couple of paragraphs here from the opening of one chapter. Herb Smith remembers it like it was yesterday. It was night when they arrived by Humvees in Kuwait City, where Colonel Herbert J. Smith, an Army Special Forces Reserve officer, would serve as the American counterpart to the Kuwaiti Minister of Health, coordinating treatment of the wounded as they were brought in from the battlefield. Hundreds of thousands were expected to pour in when the ground war began. Even now, it seemed that death was in the air. The city was enveloped in a brooding, smoke-filled darkness like nothing any of them had ever seen. The only lights came from the few buildings that had emergency generators, and from the oil fires that would burn for months like great torches across the desert landscape. Hundreds of them had been set aflame by Saddam Hussein's beaten forces as they made their hasty retreat from the city they had taken and lost, driven back into Iraq while American pilots continued to pummel them with bombs. The daylight never came as the black smoke from the oil fires eclipsed the sun. You couldn't distinguish night from day, Smith recalled. He said, if you saw a globe in the sky, you couldn't tell if it was the moon or the sun. Some of the wells had as much as 10,000 pounds per square inch pushing that oil up. That's why they couldn't put them out. Nobody had ever seen such a thing. It was 7 days before he could shower, after which Colonel Smith put his dirty uniform back on. Within 5 minutes, he said, of walking outside the shower tent, my skin was covered. I couldn't distinguish my black watch band from my skin.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, the next thing we were going to talk about was the Gulf War illness, and certainly one of the things that where our soldiers were exposed to toxic material was the oil fires, and certainly he's reading from a section from his book describing just how for a week, why, of course, the sky was black. You couldn't tell whether it was day or light, a day or night. Certainly they were having to breathe this oils. The smoke from the oil fires, and would you pick up the story? He's reading a segment from his book about this officer who has a chance after a week to take a shower, and within a few minutes being outside, why his skin is black simply because of the residue. Of course, it's getting onto his skin, but it's always getting into his lungs as well.
That's right. I couldn't distinguish my black watch band from my skin. That's how bad it was. Everything was black except for the fires reaching up into the sky. It was like Dante's Inferno. So one of the biggest toxic exposures that they suffered were the months they spent breathing the smoke from all those oil fires.
All right, fine. So basically, now, were there other toxic exposures that they had?
There were also... There were organophosphate pesticides were being used. There were one soldier described the dead rodents and all kinds of stuff. The clothing was treated with pesticides. She said, we even were told to put on flea collars on our bunks to keep the bugs out. There were pesticide spraying going on at all the bases. They'd set up the tents in the middle of nowhere and spray them inside before the troops were in there. Then they'd spray petroleum on the floor of the tents to keep the sand from blowing around. The pesticides, these were organophosphate pesticides. And these, again, are very toxic. And they were living and breathing that for months as well. The other thing that was implicated were the pyridostigmine bromide tablets, or PB tablets. They were meant to protect against nerve gas. And these were very, there were a lot of reactions to those as well. But all of these contributed to what we know today as Gulf War syndrome. And these people who are suffering from Gulf War syndrome, and they still suffer after all these years, suffer from the same basic symptoms as the people in the Southwest building all these years later. It's the chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, cognitive and memory problems. They get lost in the hometown. Soldiers describe not knowing what a red light meant anymore. They stopped at green lights to see what everybody else was doing. It got that bad.
Well, of course, one of the most discouraging things was that the Department of Defense said there was no Gulf War illness. It was all imaginary. It was all psychological. Take a pill. Or we'll give you a 10% disability. Shut up and go away. And these are sick people. They really were sick. And yet they got absolutely no help at all from the government. A significant number of them have died. We do have, of course, the Veterans Administration publication. I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago. January from the Veterans Administration.
Right.
There were 695,000 actually servicemen who served in the Gulf War. And at this time, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, 80,000 of them were, in the words of the Veterans Administration, no longer living. Now, you can't have that many young people dying unless there's a cause for it. But the government says, there's nothing there. We can assure you, we would never lie to you. And many of these people are, if they're still living, why, of course, they're chronically disabled. But go right ahead.
Of the 700,000 troops that went to war in the Gulf, 250,000 came back with quote-unquote Gulf War syndrome and have been sick ever since.
Right.
That's a lot of troops.
It sure
is. That's a huge percentage of people. The other thing was the government, the DOD, as you mentioned, was just poo-pooing this and saying that it's nothing. Well, the DOD didn't want everybody knowing that there was sarin over there, that we had supplied, in fact, Saddam Hussein with chemical weapons. And one of the things we were doing when we first went in there was blowing up those weapons depots. And our men, contrary to later reports by the military, our men were right downwind from that. And the chemical alarms were going off by the thousands every day. And they were breathing all the sarin as well. It was the most toxic battlefield in history.
And, of course, government repeatedly said none of our troops were exposed to poison gas. Well, maybe 5,000 in the world, or maybe 10,000. Then, of course, I've forgotten how many.
Up to 95,000 they finally admitted. I think 85 or 95,000 they finally admitted.
But they lied. They consistently lied and lied, and they're still lying about this. That's what's so disheartening.
It took a senatorial investigation by Don Regal to drag the truth out of them, kicking and screaming. And on top of that, I think what's even worse is that it took an act of Congress to finally get the Veterans Administration to fund real medical studies about Gulf War illness. And that wasn't until after 2000. It took them to get them to fund that, and then the lead researcher in this, who had $75 million working, and he had brain scans going, animal studies going, genetic studies going, everything to try and understand this, and they pulled the plug on him midway. Prior to that, the only thing they would fund were stress studies. That's all they wanted this thing to be, was PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And I don't know why exactly. I think partly it was because they just didn't know what to do about it, and partly because I don't think they wanted to admit that they had sent our men into harm's way, into the most toxic battlefield of all time, without adequate protection, knowing full well that this could happen to them.
And, of course, the senator who actually uncovered this whole thing, they targeted him, got rid of him. I tried to get him on a program, and he wouldn't come on, but he said, just be very careful in what you do as far as investigating this. And they destroyed his life. They targeted him. Why? Because as a United States senator, he got to the bottom of it and proved a total dereliction on the part of the Defense Department and lying to the American people about the toxic exposure of our men. So
I think it was the biggest military cover-up of all time.
Well, it was certainly one of them. But anyway, of course, you get very disillusioned as you get into this more and more. But I've been doing this for a long time, so better part of 50 years. By the way, you go right ahead. I think this is such a tragic situation. What can you tell us about the victims of the cleanup there, the oil cleanup there in the Gulf?
I'm glad you asked me, and I'm not going to bury the lead on this one, Doctor. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. It's the Gulf War syndrome come to the Gulf of Mexico, and that's what we have going on there now. We have thousands of people who are sick in the Gulf of Mexico from their exposures during that cleanup. and I'm not talking about just the workers who worked on that cleanup, I'm talking about civilians who were living along the coastline there while they were burning off the millions of gallons of oil just offshore. And they're all having the same multiple system symptoms that the Gulf War victims are, the Southwest Airlines victims are, and so many other exposure groups. There are literally millions of Americans. Approximately, it's been estimated, no, it's not been estimated. Epidemiologic studies have shown that approximately 3 million Americans suffer from multiple chemical sensitivity, have been diagnosed with it, between 2 and 3 million. That's a big number. And that I believe it was about between about 6.7% of the population. This was a California study, Department of Health. I believe it was Department of Health. 6.7% of the population is sensitive to chemicals to the point where it does make them sick. And 15% of the population reports a chemical sensitivity in their lives, whether it makes them that sick or not, not quite. But this is a very pervasive problem, and it stems primarily from the petrochemical age, which really started after World War II.
What do you think of the spraying, the massive spraying that they did down there in the Gulf after the oil spill played part of this?
Well, here, first of all, you had these guys out in these shrimp boats, like 15,000 of them in their shrimp boat, without respirators, rounding up the oil all day long. And they used pontoons. You know those pontoons? They're called pontoons, round, to round up all this oil. Then they would hook hoses up to these pontoons and pump water into them before they lit the oil on fire so that the containing pontoons would not burn. And from 100 feet away, they stood there while all of that oil burned. And they ate everything coming off without respirators.
Okay, well, it's the tragic situation. But what about this material they were spraying?
The Corexit.
Right.
Very toxic. In fact, it's been banned in England.
Mm-hmm. But it was all right to use here, certainly on all over the Gulf there.
Well, here you had these guys out there burning all this oil while they were literally dumping the Corexit on top of them. And they had no use of respirators, so of course they're going to get sick. They're going to get very sick. It's as toxic as it gets. Can I tell you something?
Sure you can. You can tell me whatever you want to.
The government was saying at the time that crude is not terribly dangerous. It's just crude oil. Well, let's look at the toxins that are in burning crude. These include volatile organic compounds, the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, hydrogen sulfide, the most common VCs in crude oil include benzene, toluene, ethyl benzene, xylene, all of which are both toxic and carcinogenic. This was not a benign area, and these men needed not just respirators, they needed air bottles to breathe from in order to keep them safe. And this stuff will float on the finest part, on the slightest cushion of air, these fine particles right into shore. And it was. And that's why people on the shoreline who live there but did not work in a cleanup are sick now, too.
Well, you know, I said this a little off the subject. What do you think about the shellfish, the shrimp, the other things that are coming out of the Gulf? Do you think they're safe to eat?
I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't. You get so many conflicting reports, don't we?
Well, the thing is, you just don't know who or what you can believe, but I'm very, very concerned about the massive amounts of oil because so many of it, much of it was simply not collected. It just simply sank down to the bottom, and I think there must be, whether it was the core exit that caused it to sink, I don't know. But, I mean, I don't think it's good for the shrimp to be swimming around in this oil core exit coagulate mm-hmm. on the floor there, and then they tell us that there's nothing to worry about. But that's just a guess.
You know what? I'll tell you something. Nothing to worry is about. They're not reporting the people who are sick in the Gulf either now. I talked to people at the Louisiana Environmental Action Network, which is the activist group down there, as well as a physician, who is probably the only physician who's seeing these people. There are thousands of them, and nobody in the medical community is seeing them anymore. They don't know what to do with them. They don't want any part of it. First of all, it's oil alley down there with all of the rigs and all of the refineries and everything, and that's what's fueling the money down there. The other thing is that they live on tourism. What tourist wants to go someplace where a lot of people are sick? So a lot of this is being suppressed. That's what I'm being told.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm sure you're right on top of it. You've done an excellent job. What about some of the other issues you'd like to bring up, you know, that you cover in your book?
Let's see. Was there anything in particular?
Well, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get your book. And do you have a website where they can go?
Yes, I do. My website, very simply, is www.arnoldmann.net. www.arnoldmann.net. And you can go there. The book is available on Amazon. It's available on Kindle as well. And it can be ordered to any bookstore. Barnes & Noble has it. Or if a bookstore does not have it, you just give them the title, which is They're Poisoning Us, From the Gulf War to the Gulf of Mexico, an Investigative Report. Or I think they can look it up under my name. It's available to any bookstore through Ingram as well, if they don't have it.
And it reads very, very well. It's a skillfully crafted. Well, of course, Mr. Mann is a professional investigative reporter, and he's done a very, very good job on compiling so many things that the average individual has never heard of, and you're not going to hear about it because it's not going to get a major play. And certainly, I'm surprised that the Time magazine carried your excellent articles when you first were bringing out the background of the toxic buildings.
Yeah. It was Time magazine, and also I ran three cover stories in USA Weekend as well, USA Weekend magazine. And it was like, boy, those really lit up the globe. Toxic mold, just everybody all of a sudden got it all at once. It hit a national nerve. And I'm hoping, I'm really hoping that this book contributes to that as well. Like I said, I would love to see, it's a hard word to use, I would very much like to see national perception shift in the direction of the victims of these toxic exposures as opposed to the interests who would prefer to say that it's all in their heads.
Well, because, you know, sitting in those homes down there in New Orleans, mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing you can do with them is simply gut them entirely, and then you have to go ahead and, all the 2x4s, you know, behind the walls, many of it is just covered with mold. They've got to certainly paint them with certain things that will protect them from getting moldy.
Yeah, mold is still a very big problem. If you do a Google search on mold every day, you're going to find schools being shut down. You know what? One of the most shocking things that I ever saw in the course of my reporting on mold, I was doing a cover story for USA Weekend magazine, and I was at Eastside High in South Carolina, and I was listening to children tell me that they had a big mold problem in the building. They had one at Buena Vista Elementary, and then they had one at Eastside. And I was listening to children tell me, one child in particular told me, that she could remember all of the teachers she had from first grade on up until last year, but she couldn't remember, or up until a couple of years ago, but she couldn't remember the classes she had taken the year before. Another one was having to take notes as to where they have to go that day. Can you imagine 16, 17-year-old children starting to have memory problems? And these memory problems don't go away. Once the mycotoxin hit the brain, it causes memory problems that can last a lifetime.
I'm sure they're getting release of free radicals. I'm sure they're getting inflammation in the brain. And this is really what the problem is. And Sydney, there may be things that can be done, but they're certainly not popular and not well known. And these kids, certainly many of them, will never be the same again. Well, our guest, of course, is Arnold Mann, M-A-N-N. And the book is They're Poisoning Us. And I think that you'll, from the Gulf War to, the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes, from the Gulf. They're Poisoning Us, From the Gulf War to the Gulf of Mexico, an Investigative Report. And one thing I would like to add, Doctor, if I could.
Go right ahead.
And that is that there are new treatments coming up, and I've devoted an entire chapter to them.
All right, hold on.
Very brave doctors.
Hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment to cover that perhaps very briefly. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just briefly touch on the treatments that are coming up. I know we can't explore it fully, but why don't you at least give us some idea of what that seems to be helping?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States
to being in these trailers. Why? Because they were loaded with formaldehyde. And you'd be amazed at so often why they come up with things that they poison you with. Of course, the formaldehyde is a carcinogen, and you would think that somebody would be smart enough to point out that it's not good for you to be exposed to carcinogens day after day, night after night. And yet, of course, this is what happened. So when you get something free from the government, or when the government's here to help you, and if it smells bad, you better check it out very carefully. Anyway, of course, that gets into my subject of planned population reduction, planned population reduction. If you haven't seen my talk, it's well worthwhile. We have another talk called None Dare Call It Genocide. We have, of course, my Population Control Agenda monograph. It's one of the best things written. It's available on the Internet, available at my website, RadioLiberty.com. Or if you get anything from us, you can simply ask for a free copy of the Population Agenda monograph, And Sydney, it's a very, very important subject. There really are people that want to kill off the vast majority of people in the world. And people say, oh, well, I mean, that sounds pretty far out. Well, of course, we hope you'll be coming to our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 23rd of October. We hope that you'll call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927, and make your reservation. You have to have reservations because we're serving lunch. We have to know how many people are there. And, of course, our exchange will know about the conference, that they should. We sent the material over to them today. And we are having an all-day conference, the 23rd of October, at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And I'll be talking on the latest information on the genocidal agenda that has already killed at least 2 billion people. That is B, billion people. They're killing millions of people every day. They intend to kill billions more. They know exactly what they're doing. And you and your family and your children have been targeted. And you say that just couldn't be true. Well, this is one reason I enjoyed talking to Mr. Mann. I don't think he really understands that this is not accidental. They know exactly what they're doing because these people have a different worldview. And it is my contention that at least the leaders of this movement worship a different God. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. My talk, the planned population reduction, Nandare College genocide. We have a four-tape set on population control. The population control agenda is available. Population control agenda is available at RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope you'll get the new, well, it's not new, it's about a year and a half old, but it's a four CD set, and you've never seen anything quite like it before. It's called The Dark Awakening. Dark Awakening, with a number of people who've been in contact with people who've been victims of Operation Monarch. And because we have the book, The CIA Doctors, by Dr. Colin Ross, who's a practicing psychiatrist, not coming from a Christian point of view, but he's dealt with so many of the victims of these programs. We have a DVD by our friend Bob Fletcher on mind control, but I suggest Operation Monarch. You need to get the information. You need to know what's going on. You need to help us get the information out. We have a good four-tape set on population control. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then we, of course, if you hope many of you out there will be in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us. And if you're not able to, please pray for Radio Liberty, our permission. And our protection.